Bibles, if you will, in the book of Psalms, in the very first Psalm, chapter 1, the Psalms, chapter 1. The book of Psalms has been, and still is, the irreplaceable devotional guidebook and hymnal of the people of God. The Hebrew title is the Book of Praises, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, known as the Septuagint. Used the thought a song sung to the accompaniment of a stringed instrument. The Latin Vulgate simply calls it a stringed instrument. The writers of about two-thirds of the Psalms are identified with David having written about 73 of the Psalms. Other writers include his son, 2, Moses, 1, Ethan 1, the sons of Korah 11, and Asaph 12, etc. You probably have noticed in your reading of the book of Psalms, it's divided into sections, and there are 5 sections. Of interest, there are over 400 quotations or allusions to the Psalms in the New Testament. And so we'll read chapter 1 right now. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity this evening to look into this wonderful, short psalm. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless this time together. And Lord, for others that are even with us this evening, either watching or in attendance, that may have health issues or concerns, that, Lord, you would be with them and give them strength and encouragement. And, Lord, again, we thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm 1 truly is an ideal introductory psalm. This psalm is truly a jewel that points the way to blessings and warns about divine judgment. We live in a society that wants the blessings of the Lord, but has no concern about divine warnings and judgment. They want to believe in a God of love, but not in a holy God, a just God, a God that hates sin. Warren Wiersbe writes, Psalm 1 is a wisdom psalm and focuses on God's word, God's blessings on those who obey it and meditate on it, and God's ultimate judgment on those who rebel, unquote. Point number 1, the person who receives a blessing from God. To receive the blessings of God, let's reread verses 1 and 2. Blessed be the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The person who receives the blessings from God. God's covenant with Israel made it clear that he would bless their obedience and judge their disobedience. The word blessed is Asher, the name of one of Jacob's sons. It is plural. And I must admit, it's good to have the blessings of the Lord upon our lives. And can I say this, that we that live in the United States of America are blessed beyond measure, not just because we have good natural resources and we have great beauty and we seem to have enough money that we can give it to everybody, but because we have gospel-preaching churches, churches that proclaim the truth of the Word of God, and we are blessed beyond measure because of that. But blessed is the man. The word man found here is generic and includes both men and women. So we could say, blessed is the man or woman who walketh. The person described here met the conditions, therefore God blessed him. Isn't it good to think that we can be blessed personally by the Lord? Israel was a unique and separate people. They were among the other nations, but not to be contaminated by them. Let's be honest about it. You open your refrigerator once in a while, and you open a container like I did the other day, the applesauce, and there was mold on top. Now, I must admit, it did not look very appetizing. It was, in my opinion, contaminated. And in many times in our lives, we must be careful that we are not contaminated by society. Numbers 23:9 says, "For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations." Yes, they lived amongst them, but they were to be separate from them. Exodus 19:5 and 6a, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." God's desire was and is to bless the Jewish people. We continue Deuteronomy 32:10. "He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." Special. And he desires to bless them. Thus it can be said of God's people today, we are in the world, but not of the world. Now, keeping your place here, would you please turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we'll begin reading at verse 11. We are so blessed, and we should never take it for granted. One of our missionaries writes almost every time that they don't ever want to take it for granted that that Christ has saved their soul. And they never want to take it for granted of the support that we send them. And you'll find that it's Mike Wallace, when he sends his letter, often has that in his letter. But John chapter 17, verse 11, Jesus speaking, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, even through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so we are in the world, but we are to be different. We must be aware of friendship with the world that leads to being spotted by the world. James 1:17 tells us to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. The world's desire is to throw mud at us. The world's desire is to darken our light so that we do not shine for Christ. We remember the story of Lot that looked towards Sodom, then pitched his tent towards Sodom, and soon moved into Sodom. Lot was a man of faith, he lost all that he had when the Lord destroyed the cities of the plains. Sin begins gradually. Disobedience. And it takes control, and we must be on guard because it is very subtle. It looks so pleasing. Have you ever been on a diet? Now, don't raise your hand. We don't need to, testify. Yes, I've been on a diet. I'll be honest with you. I've lost about 700 pounds in my life. The problem is I gain it back, right? But you're trying to lose weight, and they're chocolate chip cookies, cookies with lots of chocolate chips. Don't you hate a chocolate chip cookie that only has two or three chips in it? I mean, I want a chocolate chip in every bite, right? Or two or three. And it's sitting there. Is it tempting? Yes. And the more you know you shouldn't have it, what? The more you want it. Isn't that amazing how that is? Remember the words of Solomon in Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. So if evil's in the east, then go west. We need to keep ourselves at a distance from sin. We shouldn't tease ourselves saying, well, I can get real close. We got to be careful. It's kind of like that spider. It can come running out at you really quick and wrap you up. And the next thing you know, you are hanging, saying, what in the world have I done? Right from the first verse of this great book, we are warned not to walk with, stand with, or sit with those that will lead us astray. As you raise a child, it is very hard to teach them that there are certain kids you really shouldn't spend time with. I mean, you tell your kids to be friendly. You tell your kids to be nice, but yet there are kids, and you remember in elementary school or junior high school or high school, there were kids you really didn't want your kids to associate with. And it's the same as adults. There are people in which we really shouldn't associate. If we follow the wrong counsel, then we will stand with the wrong companions, and we will finally sit with the wrong crowd. And that's sad. When we read the sad words concerning Peter following the arrest of Jesus, we see Peter walking with and standing with and sitting with those ungodly people. And what did it lead him to do? To deny the Lord three times. But he was with the wrong people. The ungodly are people who are willfully and persistently evil. And folks, there are people in our world whose one desire is to be sinful, because that's where they find their enjoyment in life. Sinners are those who miss the mark of God's standards but do not care. And the scornful make light of God's laws and ridicule that which is sacred. And we are seeing that in our society today, that those who are scornful of the Word of God, that they are scornful of those who believe the Word of God. But it's not the first time down through human history that the people who stood for the Lord have been mocked. Even in the very beginning, we find that Cain killed his brother when Abel's sacrifice was accepted by the Lord and his was not. We see in verse 2 that we must delight in the word of the Lord. To delight. If I were to ask you, name me something in which you delight, we probably all could say something. Now, I'll be honest with you. We that are grandparents, we like to brag on our grandkids, right? And we took two of our grandkids up north and had a very good time as we went to a lot of interesting places. And it was a delight. And you know, they look at you with a smile and say, oh, we're so thankful you took us. And it just brings, you know, an excitement to you. And there are things in which you delight. I think it's a delightful thing to gather together as believers and to be here. Please listen carefully to this thought. To me, that's Pastor Paul here. To me, those that delight in the word of the Lord show that they truly desire to be committed to our Lord and Savior, and their actions prove it. While those that do not delight in the word of the Lord have only mouth service, which is hollow and worthless. I believe that we have many in our churches today who only have mouth service. They do not truly delight in the word of the Lord. Delighting in and meditating on the word must go together. The book of Psalms, if you would, please, chapter 119. Psalm 119, and we'll read it verses 15 and 16 before we move to a few more verses here in this longest chapter of the Bible. Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16. The author says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. To meditate and to delight in the word of the Lord. Verses 23 and 24. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. To delight and meditate in the word of the Lord. Verses 77 and 78. It says, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Folks, I am bothered by those who say they are believers in the Lord and yet want nothing to do with the Lord. I am bothered by those who simply do not read the Word of God. And I wonder, how do they grow spiritually? How do they keep themselves protected from the evil one? Point number two, well, we're going to find in verse 3 back in Psalm 1, the person who is blessed. The person who is blessed. And let's read verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Our Lord blesses us so that we might be a blessing to others. Do you think it's important that we are a blessing to others? Genesis 12:2, talking about Abram. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So we are blessed, and we move it on, sharing it with others. Ponder this thought. Quote, if the blessings stay with us, then the gifts become more important than the giver. And this is idolatry. We are to become channels of God's blessing to others. It is a joy to receive a blessing, but an even greater joy to be a blessing. To be a blessing. We've all heard the thought there from Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It is more what? Blessed to give than to receive. To be a blessing. Can I ask you a question? Who is the greatest giver throughout the universe? It's God Himself, right? God Himself is a giver. And we, as following His example, are to be givers. We are to be like a tree that blesses those that receive benefits from it. Like a tree, the godly person is alive, beautiful, fruitful, useful, and enduring. And it's good when you have a tree that does the things it's supposed to do. Right outside our kitchen window in our neighbor's backyard is a peach tree. And on that tree, I am beginning to see peaches. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to eat one of those peaches now. It would not be tasty. It might even make you sick. I don't know. But you know, in a month or so, there are going to be peaches on that tree. Now, I'm not going to go over and take one, but I'm going to be joyful to see them grow because they can look so pretty. See, a peach tree should do what? Produce peaches. Produce peaches. And as believers, we are to produce fruit and to be a blessing to others. Like a tree, the godly person is alive, beautiful, fruitful, useful, and enduring. Enduring. The most important part of a tree is the hidden root system that draws upon water and nourishment. And the most important part of the believer's life is the spiritual root system that draws on the hidden resources we have in Christ. My dad used to tell the story that when he was a young boy growing up in Detroit, that after Christmas, they would go and they would gather up the Christmas trees. Because back then, the majority of people that had Christmas trees had real trees, right? And so they would gather them together and they would build forts. And one day they were there and it was dark inside the fort and someone lit a match. And the whole fort went up. Because the Christmas trees that looked so nice a few weeks ago were now what? Dry and dead. It's terrible when a Christian becomes that way. When a believer is all dried up and is not producing anything. We need to make sure that we are rooted in the Word of God and in our Lord. Ephesians 3:17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Realize this. Love comes from God. Satan knows nothing about love. He is a counterfeiter. Everything he does is to counterfeit what God does. His desire is to confuse us, and he does confuse. But God is love, as the Apostle John writes. And so we must remember to be rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him. When a tree is vibrant, it has life. And isn't that what we need in our Christian walk? Is life. Point number three. The person who needs a blessing. Do you know someone in your family who needs a blessing? A co-worker, a neighbor, a friend. They're going in the wrong direction and they need a blessing. Let's begin reading at verse 4 of Psalm 1. The ungodly are not so. Wouldn't it be terrible to be known as the ungodly? But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The first half of the psalm describes the godly person, while the last half focuses on the ungodly. The very people the godly must seek to reach with the gospel. There is a job to be done, and that is to share the gospel, to invite people to come and to be part of the services. How desperately these people need to know the God of the Bible and receive his blessings found in Christ Jesus. Can I say this? Our world is full of entertainment. 24/7, you can be entertained. You can take out your phone, and if nothing else, you can play some game on your phone. We have internet, and we have television programs, and we have people who are entertained who are dying and going to hell because they don't know the God of the Bible. And they're not going to learn it on the Hallmark station. They're not going to learn it on Fox Sports. They're not going to learn it on ABC News or Fox News. They're going to need the Word of God, and they need churches that proclaim the Word of God. The wicked are pictured in many ways in the Scripture, but the image here is chaff. In contrast to the righteous, who are like trees, the ungodly are dead, rootless, blown about, and destined for the fire. Can I tell you this? That we have a society that has much, but they don't have the Lord. Each person, when created, has a void in their life that only God can fill. And people are trying to fill that void with many other things. But it doesn't do the job. Chaff is worthless. When the grain is winnowed, the wind blows the chaff away, and whatever chaff remains is thrown into the fire. It is destroyed. Throughout the Word of God, one word is used over and over again or implied, and that word is repent. The need to repent. To get one's life right with God. But in today's churches, oftentimes sin is overlooked. Many churches have become entertainment centers. But what they need to be doing is preaching, even as John the Baptist, repent. Even as Christ, repent. Even as the Apostle Paul, repent. And make sure that you're right with the Lord. This brings us to the conclusion. This psalm begins with blessed and ends with perish. Every person that has ever been born and lived their life will either be blessed by the Lord or they will perish and spend eternity in hellfire. God loves us so much that he has provided a way of salvation. Matthew 7:23 says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." While in Munising, we went out on the Pictured Rocks cruise. And Donna had purchased the tickets, and she had it on her phone. Okay. I mean, we live in a world today that it, to me, is amazing. I mean, I like the old days when they gave you a ticket and you had it in your hand. Okay. I understand if you go to a lot of the ballparks today, they don't have a paper ticket. You have to have it on your phone. And I think, whoa, that's amazing. That means I can't go. I'd have to take my wife. And so we're waiting to get on the boat, and we're finally being allowed on the boat, and Donna shows her phone to the ticket checker. Now, it's not a ticket. It's on the phone. And he moves the thing up and down, and he sees we have 4 tickets. Okay? What did that allow us to do? To get on the boat. How do we get into heaven? It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're not covered by the blood of Christ, he will say to those who do not know him, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. True believers are blessed in Christ. They have received God's blessings, and they ought to be a blessing to others, especially to the chaff that will one day be thrown into the fire. We need to make sure that we are being a blessing in our society today. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm chapter 1. Lord, may we be encouraged in our walk to be a blessing to others. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.